They would like to sit in the portable building, and also if the hall is full, there's space made for the English program in the portable building as well. Also, as we announced yesterday about these some designated spots that we have right in front of the building, the first few spots, and they're typically blocked by cones or chairs, so we encourage you to avoid parking in those spots. Last announcement before I invite Maulana is regarding the fundraising. We also announced, and we'll be announcing in the next few nights as well, about the fundraising goal of Mu'min this year. As you all know, Mu'min, that's their annual fundraising in Muharram. This year's goal is set as $100,000. And there's a table outside. There are brothers with the brothers here as well. If anyone would like to donate, they do accept credit cards, cash, and checks, all form of payments. And we have Brother Jerry sitting here as well if you want to contact him. And we encourage you to participate so that we avoid announcing this and hold up programs during the last few nights. With that, I would like to invite Sheikh Mahdi Rastani to the member to address the Mu'mineen. Please welcome him with three loud salawats.
Please recite aloud salawat. Before we start, inshallah, if the brothers can move forward, please, with aloud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the love of our beloved Prophet and his beloved progeny, please recite a second loud salawat. For the hastening in the return of our beloved 12th Imam, please recite a third final loud salawat. So the topic that we started last night was the topic of receiving and interpreting signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a topic that, if I don't know if you picked this up or noticed this, I'm personally very passionate about. There's many times you sit down and you just think, maybe this is a sign from him, maybe he's trying to tell me. It's something that we deal with on a daily basis. Because it's something we deal with on a daily basis, it's very deeply embedded in our culture. As we mentioned yesterday, that there are a number of things in our cultures, we look around in our culture, we point to certain things, we say, this is a sign from him. For example, you and I might see a particular dream. In that dream, you might see a particular person, maybe someone who just passed away, for example, right? Maybe someone who's very dear and close to your heart, maybe an imam. You take that dream as a sign. Maybe that person in the dream tells you something you take that as a sign. Or for example, maybe you perform istikhara and you take that as a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding you when you're stuck with a situation, with a decision. Maybe you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes and your dua is accepted. When your dua is accepted, a lot of times you take this as a sign that he must be out there, that my dua is being accepted. This person was severely ill. I prayed and now he is doing better. You take this as a sign. And other things that we have in our cultures that we point to and we say this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where did we start yesterday? We said in order to understand this topic, we came up with a number of questions and a number of points that we discussed. We started from here. First, we defined what a sign is. We said a sign is something that people have a mutual understanding about from before. Huh? Just like a stop sign, before you got in your car, turned on the car, the stop sign, someone told you that the stop sign means you're supposed to stop. And the difference between last night and this night is that I know the name of the shape of a stop sign. It's called the octagon. I know you didn't come here to learn that tonight, but it's one of the things you'll learn tonight, inshallah. It's called the octagon. That's what we call a sign. That's how you define a sign. And then we went on to this. We said, what are the different types of signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends our way? And what is the message that each one of these signs is trying to communicate to us? What is he trying to tell us each one of these signs? We said there are four main categories of signs. The first are those signs that you use just to verify your belief system. Huh? We said a lot of times you may have learned a bunch of things about Islam. You've learned arguments and you looked into the reasoning and the philosophy of Islam and all of that stuff. But still, at the end of the day, sometimes there's a little bit of doubt left in our hearts. What do we do about that doubt? We look for more signs from Him in order to have that doubt melt away from our hearts. That's the first category. Second category was the category of signs that we look for because we're looking for guidance. We want to see, am I supposed to go left or am I supposed to go right? Am I supposed to go option A or option B? We talked about that in depth. Then we moved on to the third set of signs, which I said was my favorite. And that was what? The type of signs that you look for just because you want to gauge your own spirituality. Huh? You want to put a measurement, a tangible measurement on your spirituality. At the end of the day, in the eyes of Allah, am I a 1, am I a 5, or maybe am I a 10? You wanted to see where you stand in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this last one, we said there's good news, there's bad news. Good news is, generally speaking, you can tell where you stand in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally speaking, and this is what our ulama say, that if someone is the type of person who generally he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he happens to make a mistake, he does tawbah from it quickly. This is a person that is dear in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the good news. The bad news is what? The bad news is you can't tell exactly where you stand still. Huh? You can't put a number on it. Because of that, you can't judge the person who's sitting beside you. You don't know. Maybe you're a 5, he's a 6. You never know. And then we said there are 4 reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us where we stand in terms of our spirituality. He does not show us the results of our spirituality. Before I continue, since Allah Kurosh is coming back and giving us those same gestures, please recite a loud salawat and move forward. Sisters as well? They're already packed all the way in. Sisters, if you can move ahead, please move ahead, please. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Some of the brothers, by the time they get up and they gather their strength, and you can tell, tired and exhausted. It's Friday. You should be happy. It's weekend that's coming. I'm sorry, but let's recite one more salawat and move a little bit more forward. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil falaj. It's better to just get everyone forward so that while we're going on with the topic, we don't have to keep interrupting the topic. So last night, we reached this point. We said there are 4 reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not show us the results of our spirituality. The first reason why he does not do this is because if he shows you even a glimpse of your spirituality, the first thing you're going to do the next day is what? You're going to go and share it with the whole wide world, right? That's why we came up with a hashtag. Hopefully it turns into a hashtag. You're going to go and tell everyone about it. That's the first reason. Second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not show you your spirituality, because if he gives you certain abilities, like for example, some scholars, they had the ability to travel from one place to another place. Very quickly, they were walking, for example, and then he would see all of a sudden, instead of like he's in Karbala, now he's in Najaf. So many, many stories like this. Not one or two, many, many stories like this. If he were to give you that ability, before you know it, that ability would become your center of attention rather than worshiping him. And you would even forget who even God gave this to you in the first place. He's done that with a bunch of other things in our lives as well, right? He gives us beauty, he gives us a bright mind, and then we forget who gave it to us in the first place anyways, right? This is the second reason why he doesn't show us the result of our spirituality in this world. Reason number three was that he wants to keep us between khawf and raja. Sometimes, if you find out where you stand in his eyes, if you're very high, you say, well, I'm already done. I'm already good to go to heaven. I've already made my way out of hellfire. I'm not going to push myself too much anymore, right? And if you're very low, you might get disheartened, despaired, right? You feel depressed. You said, I worked so hard and this is where I am. No. So he doesn't show it to you. Reason number four was that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect the reward that he is going to give you for your spirituality in the next world. That's why in this world, the verses of the Quran says that if there are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like too much because of their own actions, what he will do is that sometimes even though they might do something good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them their reward in this world very quickly. And we went through that story of that Indian mystic who had that ability, and when he became Muslim, all of a sudden he lost that ability. The sixth imam told him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has greater things prepared for you. We reached until this point yesterday. From this point on, we want to move on to the fourth category of signs, and then two other questions that come up. What are those two other questions that come up here? The questions go something like this. First of all, are we supposed to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more and more signs? Are we always supposed to seek more signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or no, we're not supposed to do that. Okay, that's the first question. Second question is, if we understand, for example, the Quran says, no, don't look for any more signs. The question we have is why? Because with signs, naturally your iman would normally grow. If I saw more signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naturally my iman would grow more. Why is it that he is being very careful, very selective with his signs? More signs, more iman. What's to lose? It sounds like a great deal. That's the second question that we have to answer. So this is what we'll be discussing today. The fourth category and the answer to these two questions. Recite a salawat, please. The fourth category of these signs is what? The fourth category is those group of signs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not trying to teach you anything new. You already know what you're supposed to be doing. You already know you're on the wrong path. All he is trying to do is throw this sign into your life so that it shakes you, so that you wake up a little bit. And we have different examples of this throughout history. We only want to go through one of them tonight. There was an individual by the name of Bishr. He lived in the city of Baghdad during the time of the seventh Imam, Imam al-Qadim, salawatullahi alayhi. People of Baghdad, they come to Imam al-Qadim, they say, Ya Imam al-Qadim, we have a problem. Ya Musa ibn Ja'far, we have a problem. What's your problem? This guy Bishr, he's influential, wealthy. He comes into the city of Baghdad. He has all of this wealth with him. He puts together majalis of fasad. He puts together parties of corruption. Our youth, our youngers, they go, they take part in these majalis. They get misguided. Ya Musa ibn Ja'far, do something about this. Imam al-Qadim said, don't worry, I'll deal with Bishr. Okay? They say one day Bishr was having another one of his parties. Parties, what happens in a party? There's drinking, God forbid, different sins, music that's going on. It's a very busy party. As this is going on, Bish, of course, he has maids, he has servants, he has people who work for him because he's that wealthy. He tells one of his maids, you go and take the trash out, put the trash out. So this maid comes to take the trash out of the house of Bish. And of course, he's enjoying his party. He's having a great time. Imam al-Kadhim comes to pass by the house of who? Of Bish. When this maid comes out, she doesn't recognize this is Imam al-Kadhim. Just sees there's an old man, maybe 40, 50 years, whatever the age was at that particular time. He's passing by. He asks her a question. He says, you work here for Bish? She says, yes, I work for Bish. He says, okay, I just have one question. Hurrun am abdun? Is he hur? Is he free? Or is he a slave? Because, you know, back then, it was a normal thing within the society. You had people who were free, and then you had people who were servants or maids, right? They worked for other people. Of course, this is something that Islam eradicated over time. But at that time, it was still within society. Hurrun am abdun? Is he free or is he a slave? This maid, as if she has a smirk on her face, she's like, what are you talking about, Hurrun am abdun? Don't you see his empire? Of course he's Hurrun. Of course he's not an abd. Of course he's not a servant. He has people working for him. What are you talking about, Hurrun? No. And then you know what Imam al-Kadhim said? He said, of course he's Hur. Of course he's not an abd. If he was an abd, he would have been afraid of his master. He said, if he understood he was an abd, he would have been afraid of his master. This maid doesn't pick up what the imam is referring to. All she does is she says, okay, that's fine. She goes back into the house. Bish confronts her. What happened? You took so long. She says, yeah, this guy was passing by. He asked me like this really funny question. He asked me, Hurrun am abdun? He asked me if you were free or you worked for other people. And well, I told him, of course you're Hurrun. Like, of course, look at this. And this hit Bish so hard. He understood what Imam al-Kadhim was saying. He said, oh, he's right. If I was abdun, I would have been fearful of my master. They say that Bish started to run out of the house. He ran out of the house barefoot. That's why he was known in history as Bishr al-Hafi. He ran out of the house without shoes. He ran after Imam al-Kadhim. Bish, this is one of those signs where it changed your life. Bish ran out of the house. He picked up, he got to Imam al-Kadhim. He did tawbah. They say from there on, Bish changed the course of his life. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts certain signs in our life, not to teach us anything, not so that we can learn anything new. No, we already know what we're supposed to be doing. Just to shake up your world a little bit. Recite a salawat, please. All right, we hear stories like this. There's a point I want to mention about this before we move on to the next questions that we have to answer. Brothers and sisters, this is, of course, an extraordinary sign, right? This isn't something that happens every other day. No, it's an extraordinary sign. Brothers and sisters, unfortunately, we have developed a culture where if someone is sent one of these signs that's supposed to shake you up, not to teach you anything new, you already know you're on the wrong path. Pay attention, I'm emphasizing this. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings. I'm emphasizing this. You already know what you're doing is wrong. But you continue down this path, God sends you one of these signs. In our cultures, unfortunately, we have built a concept, a notion, that if you are like this and God sends you one of these signs, you are a special servant of Allah. What do I mean by this? Brother, sister, a brother, he already knows he's not supposed to be going partying and doing this kind of haram stuff. For example, just an example. He already knows this. Sister, she already knows that she is supposed to be doing certain things. But she won't listen to the Quran. He won't listen to the Quran when the Quran speaks. No, he wants a special sign. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a special sign like this, he says, look at me. I'm so special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me a special sign. You're not special. You're not listening to God. That's why He has to tell you the same message in 20 different ways. This doesn't apply to someone who doesn't know about this stuff. Sometimes there might be individuals, sometimes you hear in the stories of people who didn't grow up in Muslim environments, huh? Converts, other people, they never heard about Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them something extraordinary, something that starts a spark. That's not what we're talking about. Those, yes, you could say this person is special. That's not what we're talking about. No, I'm talking about you and me. We know what we're supposed to do. The Quran always already says this is wajib. But we don't want to listen to the Quran. No, we want some extraordinary dream to tell us what to do and what not to do. And then in this dream, this person sees this imam, that imam. This imam or that imam tells them to do something. And then this person says, oh, look at me. I'm so special. Imam Hussein came in my dream. Imam Hussein came in your dream, my dream, because we weren't listening to him in the first place. Because he had to make sure we received the message. He says, okay, what do I do with this guy? He won't understand. We've said it in the Quran, this is wajib. The marja is saying this is wajib. He won't understand it. What's the last option? Well, let me go to his dream, at least tell him. Let me at least send a special sign to him. Maybe he'll pick up the message. Or as we say, maybe he'll get the memo that way. Sometimes we haven't gotten the memo. That's why Imam Hussein has to do all these things for us. So when we look and see these extraordinary signs, brothers and sisters, if it's things that we already know we're supposed to be doing, that doesn't mean we're a special servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that we didn't listen to him in the first place. Now he's forced to teach us in other ways. Why am I saying this? Because there are people, most of us might never see a special dream of Imam Hussein. Most of us might not ever see, most of us might never ever have Imam Qadim pass by the house, the door of our house. Just because you don't see these extraordinary signs in your life doesn't mean you're not doing things right. No, these extraordinary signs, usually they go out to people who aren't listening. Otherwise, Islam is not based on these extraordinary signs. Islam is based on Quran. Quran says this is wajib. You're looking for a sign? This is God speaking to you. He's telling you his message clearly. So this is important to understand, that if we don't see this, doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. No, look at the Quran. What does the Quran say? And you act upon that. Recite a salawat, please. Moving on from this is the fourth category of signs. We discussed it already. So are we supposed to constantly look for more signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? When you look at the Quran and Hadith, you find different answers to this question. On one hand, it's going to seem like a contradiction, but we'll explain these two together. On one hand, when you go to the Quran and Hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, my servants, they think about my signs. They go and seek my signs. Like the verse we recited yesterday, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, go and travel on earth, look for my signs. This is on one hand. So say, okay, I'm going to put on my clothes, I'm going to go out to seek the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then in other verses of the Quran, you look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see group of people asking him for more signs, and he rejects them. So what's going on? Are we supposed to seek more signs from him? Or are we supposed to say, no, enough signs, we don't need any more signs? Because on one hand, Quran says this. On the other hand, the Quran rejects people who came and asked signs from the Prophet. Multiple occasions. On one occasion, a group of the mushrikeen, the elite in Mecca, they got together around the Masjid al-Haram. They got together. Amongst them was who? Walid ibn Mughayra, big guy. Abu Jahl, another big guy. Some big heavyweights of kufr. They get together, they say, you know what? We have to communicate this to Muhammad. We have to speak to Muhammad. Recite salawat, please. He's creating too much corruption. He's creating too much chaos in our societies. He's altering the order that we have in the society. We have to go down and sit down with him and tell him what we're thinking. They say, okay, they elect one of them to speak on behalf of them. He goes, Walid ibn Mughayra, he confronts the Prophet. The Prophet comes because he hears that a group of the mushrikeen want to speak to you. He comes, he sits. They tell him, they say, Muhammad, this message that you keep spreading, stop, it's enough. You're creating problems. He says, no, I have to continue. This is a message from God. I have to continue. They say, okay, fine. At least if you're going to continue, you want us to believe in you, then at least show us some more signs. So what signs do you want? Huh. This is such an important story. It made its way into the verses of the Quran. In Surah Al-Isra, verses 90 onwards, This is what the story is talking about. وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. Muhammad, if you want us to listen to you, then make a spring appear in the ground, a spring of water. Or, أو in Arabic means, or, أو يكون لك جنة. Or, if you don't want that, let's try this. We'll accept this one as well. Or, at least have a ranch or a garden full of palm trees and grape trees. فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا. While you at the bottom of this garden or ranch. But they didn't stop there. They went a step further. Or just send the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's see what you keep talking about. Send the skies coming towards us. If you want to. I'll give you another option. Or if you want, bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika so we see them. You keep speaking of signs. You say the truth is clear. The truth is clear. Bring them so we see them. They kept asking for this. أَوْ يَكُونُ لَكَ بَيْتٌ مِنْ زُخْرَفٍ. Or maybe you could have a house that's like full of jewelry. That's also an option. أَوْ تَرْقَى فِي السَّمَاءِ. Or maybe if we're standing somewhere and we see you ascend into the skies. But then we still won't believe in you. Because then you'll have to bring us handwriting from God that this is actually you going to the skies and coming back. Then we'll believe in you. So asking for more signs. What did the Prophet say? They've been speaking for five lines. What did the Prophet say? قُلْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, هَلْ كُنْتُ إِلَّا بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. Like, listen, you guys, apparently you don't understand what's going on. I'm just a human being. I'm just a messenger. I can't choose which signs you guys want and which signs you don't want. He's going to choose what signs he wants to send you, and that's it. It's not a personal preference. It's not a buffet. You can't choose which signs you like that you say, oh, this. And by the way, they had interest in all of these, right? They wanted a spring in Mecca. If you had a spring in Mecca, imagine how wealthy you would become, some of this stuff. You can't choose what sign you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what sign you don't want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see here, he's rejecting the request for more signs. So Ya Allah, make it clear to us, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to ask for more signs or not? On one hand, you say, go and seek my signs. On one hand, people come and ask for signs. You say, no, we're not going to give it to you. So what is this? Is this a contradiction? No. Pay attention. This is a little delicate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, don't sit there and ask for signs. No, it's not up to your preference. But I have chosen the signs that I want you to see from before. I have placed them in certain places. Go and seek those signs. You see how these two verses come together very well? It says, don't ask for signs because it's not up to you. You're not supposed to be asking. I'm in charge here. I'm the boss here. You're not the boss here. But if you want to see signs, I've already selected some for you. I have placed them in certain situations. Those places, go and see them. What are those places? Where are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Three of them I'll mention. Later on, when we talk about the topic of thought and contemplation, we'll discuss these more. Number one, history. Go and look in history. My signs are there. You want signs? Go and look there. Don't ask for new signs based on your personal preference. That you're not going to get. No. Go look in my history. My signs are there. Number one. Number two, the Quran, full of signs of mine. You want signs? Go look there. Number three, nature and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see that he tells you not to ask for any extra signs, because if you start asking for signs, you're going to get into this game. You say, oh, I want a house full of jewelry. And then the next day you say, I want to do this and I want to do that, right? No, not on your base personal preference, no. But you want to seek my signs? I have already pre-prepared these signs for you to go and look at them. Recite a salawat, please. Okay, so we understand now that these signs, we're not allowed to ask. But then the question that comes to our mind is this. Why, Ya Allah? Why are we making things so difficult? We're asking for signs. Like, if God were to give these guys these signs, what would happen? Maybe they would have believed. Okay, you say, no, those guys were bad guys. Like, they wouldn't believe at any given cost. Okay, but me, I'm not a bad guy. If God were to show me more signs, I would listen to him. And then a person who asks this question will follow up with this point. He will say, isn't that exactly what happened to the prophets anyways? Didn't God show some of the biggest of his signs to the prophets? Wasn't it because of this that these prophets had these great iman, this great faith, that they were willing, like someone like Prophet Musa, he was willing to go and stand in front of Fir'aun. Fir'aun was no normal king of yours. Fir'aun said, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la." You know what that means? That means don't forget about working for me and you're my servant and you're my slave. No. That means that everything you have, I own it. I'm your Lord. Not a lot of kings make that claim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed all these signs to these prophets that they were able to do this. Huh? This is the point that this person will follow up with that question. The answer is this, brothers and sisters. Two points I will mention when it comes to the prophets, and then two points why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't show us more signs that have to do with us. Recite a salawat, please. First of all, you have to understand who you are and how important you are. Don't compare yourself with Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa had such a big duty. He had to go and speak to Fir'aun. He had to free thousands of people. God is not asking you to do that. You don't have to see the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because your duty is much smaller than that. He's not even asking you to free thousands of people. He's asking you to free one person and you can barely pull that off. Yes, if God told you go and free thousands of my people, then you should sit there and say, Ya Allah, I need to see more signs. I need a stronger faith. And that's exactly what Musa did when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, go to Bani Israel, go to Fir'aun, innahu taqa. What did he say? He said, wait a second, I need some more tools, I need some more help. Qala rabbi shrah li sadri. Wait a second, first of all, give me the proper capacity. Okay, fine, we'll give you that. Wa yassir li amri, make it easier for me. Okay, we'll do that. Wa akhi Harun, also appoint Harun. Wa ashrikhu fi amri, give him prophethood too. I need his help as well. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered all of these. قَالَ قَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Ya Allah, we gave you everything that you needed. Yes, because if you're going to go up and speak against Fir'aun, those are the type of signs that you have to see. And then what else did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He showed him some big signs. If you throw your staff, this staff will turn into a snake. This was such a big sign that the first time Musa did this, the verses of the Quran say what? He was afraid. This was such a real thing that he got afraid. The verses of the Quran say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Musa, where are you going? Aqbil wa la takhaf. Don't run away. If you grab this staff of yours again, sanu'iduha siratuha al-ula. If you grab it again, it'll go back to the same shape. It was scary for Musa. Yes, if you want to go up against Fir'aun, fine, ask for the greatest signs. But you don't have to go up against Fir'aun. You just have to go up against yourself. That's very difficult as well. But for that amount, you have seen enough signs. You don't need any more signs. Don't come to here, tell me, oh, Prophet Musa saw this and he saw that. I need to see this and I need to... No, your objective, very different from Prophet Musa's objective. Recite a salawat, please. One more salawat, please. That's the first point. Second point, we speak of these prophets, we act as if these guys didn't work hard to reach this point. No, these guys worked hard to reach this point. Very beautiful point that's made in the story of Prophet Yusuf. In the story of Prophet Yusuf, we know that there was one major critical test that Yusuf encountered. It was a very difficult test. It was a test that was going to define the future of Yusuf. It was a test that was going to put Yusuf in prison, and it was a test that the same thing that it was going to get Yusuf out of prison. Same thing that put Yusuf in prison was the same thing that got Yusuf out of prison. What was that? Zulaykha, of course we know the story, that she approached him with that request. Because he didn't accept that request, what happened? He was placed in prison. What got him out? When they went and asked Zulaykha, they said, what did he do? They said, no. She said, no, he didn't accept my request. And the king of that time, he said, oh, he's trustworthy. Bring him out. Same thing that is going to get Yusuf into prison, it's going to get him out. How did he come up with this ability to interpret dreams? It was because he said no to this request. And that ability to interpret dreams was the same thing that got him out of prison. What a critical moment this is in the life of Yusuf. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. She comes, she brings up this approach, this request. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّغَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. And she put some very hard locks on the door. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. So we have to start. And then the verses continue. They say, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. Pay attention to the wording, because the answer to the question is in the wording. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. And then she started to approach. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And he approached too. Oh, wait a second. No, that's not the story we've heard. We heard, he said no. وَهَمَّ بِهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. If it wasn't for the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yusuf also. But because the sign of Allah was there, he got saved from this situation. Many of us say, well, that's easy. If God sends me a sign too, in a critical situation, I'll make the right decision. Here's the point that one of my teachers pointed out about this verse. I remember we had a class in the Hawza. It's called the class of Balagat. Balagat means when you pay attention to not just what someone is saying, the way someone is saying what they're saying. Huh? Balagat. I remember we had a beginning of the class, he was asking, why do you guys think we should study Balagat? Why is it important? And everyone was asking their questions until he got to this point to explain why you're supposed to pay attention to the exact wording of the Quran. Brothers and sisters, the Quran doesn't say Yusuf was there and we showed our sign to him. No, what does it say? لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. He saw the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? That means Yusuf reached a point where he could see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't just sitting there and God showing him things. No, he had worked on himself so much that in those critical situations, he could see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These guys worked hard to reach this point. That's the second point that we have to keep in mind. When you look at the story of Prophet Musa, we don't have time to go through this. When you look at the story of Prophet Musa, you find the story of Prophet Musa, he was acting like a prophet before he was chosen as a prophet. Huh? In the story of Prophet Musa, a lot of us read the story of Prophet Musa, I was like, okay, well, you're supposed to do that. You're a prophet, of course. Then later on, you find out he became a prophet later on in the story. Yet at the beginning of the story, when people were asking for help, he went and helped them. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. People asked him for help. He used to go. He saved that same guy on the second day as well. Same guy got into another fight with another one of the Fir'aunis. Recite the salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Same guy got into a fight with another one of the troops of Fir'aun. He went and he helped them the second day as well. Except that time, he heard that they're coming for him and he had to run away. Musa was acting like a prophet before he was chosen as a prophet. This is the second point. But let's set the prophets aside. We understand the prophets are different from us now. Let's move on to me and you. And this is where things get very practical and very important. Recite a salawat, please. One more salawat, please. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. This point that I'm about to make is the most important point that we have been making about this whole topic. So I really want us to pay attention to this one. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us signs. When He sends us signs, you have reason to believe that He's out there. You have reason to believe in His existence. You have reason to believe the Qur'an is the book of Allah. But when we say you have reason to believe something, that doesn't mean you're automatically going to believe it, right? There's a difference between having the reasoning in your mind and actually taking that step of saying, I believe in you. These two are different from one another. Because there are people who have all the knowledge in the world, but when it comes to believing, they don't believe, right? They reject the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Clear? We're good on that? There's a step you take between knowledge and belief. Brothers and sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to send us sign after sign after sign after sign, then this whole idea of believing in the unseen would not even be believing in the unseen. It would turn into the seen. The Quran says, yes, the mu'mineen, I love them. Why? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in things that they haven't seen. Why? Because they have reason to believe in those things. That's why I love them, Quran says. But if you believe in things that are right there in front of you, this is not valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why when people come, the final moments of their life, when they see the angel of death coming their way, their tawbah is not accepted at any point. Why? Because at that point, you're not believing in the unseen. You're believing in the seen. It's not ghaib anymore. It's shahadat. It's right there in front of you. Of course you're going to believe in it. That's why Fir'aun, when he was drowning, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ الْغَرَقْ حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقْ قَالَ آمَنْتُ. No, it's too late at that point because you're not believing in the unseen. You're seeing the next world. You're seeing the angels. You're seeing the punishment. Now you're saying you believe? That's not even belief anymore. Belief, you have to take something that we call a leap of faith. Except the difference between what we call a leap of faith and what a lot of other people call a leap of faith is that we have reason to take that leap of faith. Other people, they say, no, you don't know and you don't need any reason to take that leap of faith. Okay? But so when we call it a leap of faith, we have reason to believe in what we're believing. But still, you have to take that step where you don't see God, but you say, I believe in Him because I have reason to believe in His existence. This is something that's been encouraged in our ahadith, where the Prophet, he came, he sat one day, and he said, you know what, I miss my brothers. Ishtaqtu ila ikhwani, I miss my brothers. They said, your brothers? Ya Rasulullah, you don't have any brothers. He said, yes, I do have brothers. There are people who will come later. They will never see me, but they will believe in my message. That's believing in the unseen. With the proper logic and reasoning, but believing in the unseen. You keep asking for signs. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you all the signs, it's not even believing in the unseen anymore. It's believing in the seen. Or you're asking to see the Day of Judgment. You see the Day of Judgment, it's over. There's nothing to believe in at that point. This is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't bombard us with more and more signs. Because if He makes the game too easy for us, it's not even a game anymore. It's not even a challenge anymore. What are you believing in? It's right there in front of you. This is another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send multiple signs for us. Recite a salawat, please. And the final points that we want to discuss for tonight, inshallah. Okay, ya Allah, I get it. You're not supposed to send me all the signs in the world because the unseen will become seen for me. It won't even be a challenge for me. In other words, it won't even be a test for me at that point. Like these guys were saying, bring God and the malaika in front of us. Well, if He brings God and the malaika in front of you, other than the fact it's impossible, that's not even believing in the unseen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. You're not believing يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. You're يُؤْمِنُونَ in the things that you're seeing right there. Like literally. Okay. So we understand that. But there's still another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go down this road of showing us greater and greater signs. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, if He shows you greater signs and then you end up rejecting those greater signs, then you will have no chance to come back from it. That's the thing with greater signs. They're a two-sided blade. Yes. They'll make believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little bit easier for you. But if you happen to reject them, and there is always a chance of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment will come right there and then. It's not going to stop. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us more and more chances. So He doesn't start from the biggest sign. He says, let me give this guy a small sign. So that if he rejects it the first time, we'll move on to number two. Maybe number two will listen to us. Maybe number three. But then it comes to a point where He shows you the greatest signs. If you say no to those, His punishment will come quickly. He doesn't want to do that. In the verses of the Quran, He says, people keep asking us, why don't we send down some angels from the sky? They come flying and all this stuff. And then they'll know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. It says, وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If we send these angels and these guys don't believe, that's it. They won't be able to live for another second. لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. A qadi means a person who puts ends to things, right? Like you have a dispute, he puts an end to it. لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. You guys would be done with. I want to give you more chances. I want to give you some a room, a margin for error. I'm not going to start from the biggest of signs. Even if you ask me for the biggest of signs, I'm not going to send it to you necessarily. This is what you find in the story of Prophet Esau. Esau alayhi salam, after he had a group of companions around him, the Hawariyun one day came to him. They said, "Ya Esau, why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send food from the sky for us?" He said, "Why? You don't believe, or like what happened, or you're asking for more signs?" They said, "No, we believe in all that stuff. But the thing is, we just want to be like, you know, we want to feel really, really confident in our belief. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a food from the sky." Recite a salawat, please. One more salawat, please. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. They came to Isa. They said, "Ask him to send something upon us. نُرِيدُ أَن نَتْمَئِنَّ مِنْهَا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا. We want to eat from it so that our hearts feel a little bit more itminan, feel a little bit more confident. What did Isa respond to them? Did he say, "Oh great, mashallah, yes, you're asking for more signs. Nothing would make me happier." Is that what he said? No. قَالَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. What are you asking for more signs? It's not a best idea. So they insisted. Isa went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. He said, "Allahumma, Ya Allah, Rabbana, أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Ya Allah, send down a dasturkhan, my translation, from the sky." That's what ma'idah means, right? Ma'idah is that tablecloth. And the reason why Suratul Ma'idah is called Suratul Ma'idah is because of what? Because of this story. Allahumma Rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama. But because Isa was polite when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put a little bit more of a polite touch on this request. He didn't say, "Send down food from the skies because we're so not sure about you." He didn't say it that way. What did he say? Anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama takunu lana 'eedan, so that we could have an Eid. Prophet is different from other people. تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا. Let it be an Eid for us. Let it be a joyous occasion for us, for those who come in the beginning and for those who come in later generations. وَآيَةً مِنْكْ وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Okay, here's the final point that we're going to make and end, inshallah. قَالَ اللَّهُ. Allah said what? قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. Said, "Fine, I will send it down to you guys. But فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ. If I send this sign down, and any of these guys who are asking for this sign end up turning away from my message, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Said, if I send down this biggest sign of mine, that's a big sign, food is coming from the sky. If I send down this biggest sign and then someone disbelieves in us, this is one of those signs that if I send down and you reject it, you're not going to get a second chance at it. Because when God gives you a second chance, what does He do? He gives you a better sign, clearer sign, says maybe He'll believe this time. But if He shows you the greatest signs that He has and you reject it, there's no point in you being alive anymore. You're done with. فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. If they reject this sign, then tell them that their punishment is going to be the greatest of punishments. This is another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as much as we ask Him for this sign and that sign and this great sign and that great sign, He says, "No, I've already sent you your signs. Stick to those. You're better off sticking to those." What are those signs? Where are you supposed to seek those? Inshallah, when we discuss the topic of thought and contemplation, inshallah, we'll discuss where are these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, inshallah, we'll bring tonight's talk to the end. Inshallah, if the brothers and sisters please dim the lights, we will prepare to hear the masa'ib of our beloved Imam Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, that we know that as the days come closer and closer to the tragedy of Abu Abdullah, as we come closer and closer to the day of Ashura, every day is dedicated to a different person for these masa'ib that we recite. And sometimes you talk about the men, sometimes you talk about the women, sometimes you talk about uncles, sometimes you talk about fathers, daughters. Today, it's dedicated to one of the mothers that we find in this caravan of Karbala. What a difficult musibah this is. You know, I know that for a mother, her children are everything that she has. The children of a mother are her breath. It's everything that she has. That's why if a mother sees that her child has a scratch on his hand, this mother is never going to be comfortable. This mother is never going to relax. This mother can never calm down when she sees that her child has something like this going on. This is why this musibah is such a difficult musibah. And one of these mothers was the mother of Ali ibn al-Asghar. Just imagine the pain that Ali ibn al-Asghar goes through. The mother of Ali ibn al-Asghar goes through. That moment, put yourself in that situation where Hussein comes and asks for Ali ibn al-Asghar. Imagine this mother giving away her child. What's going through the heart of Rubab? What's going through the heart of the mother of Ali ibn al-Asghar? Only Allah knows what went through her heart on that day. And then you look a little bit more in this caravan, you find there's another mother in this caravan, and that is Lady Zainab herself. Everyone has sent their children in this caravan. Lady Zainab has come herself in this caravan as well. And of course, she has brought her two flowers. She had brought her two children, Aun and Muhammad as well. They say that the day of Ashura rolled around, there came a point where they looked around and all of the companions of Hussein had gone to the battlefield and they had fought. Everyone has become shaheed. Habib ibn Madahir, shaheed. Nafi' ibn Hilal, shaheed. Everyone is shaheed. Now it's time for Bani Hashim to also start to go. They say when it came to the time of Bani Hashim, the first person who came to ask permission from Hussein ibn Ali was Ali ibn al-Akbar. Imagine what goes through the heart of Hussein ibn Ali the moment he sees Ali ibn al-Akbar standing at the tent. Ali ibn al-Akbar comes in. The hadith says that the moment Ali ibn al-Akbar asks for permission to go to the battlefield, the Imam quickly gave him permission. We don't know why. Maybe because it was his own child. He wanted the sacrifice to happen faster. Maybe because he couldn't take standing there with Ali ibn al-Akbar standing there in front of him. فَاسْتَأْذَنَ أَبَاهُ فَأَذِنَ لَهُ. Quickly he gave permission to Ali ibn al-Akbar to go. They say Ali ibn al-Akbar went, he came back. Every time they brought back one of the bodies, they say Zainab ran out to support Hussein because she knows that Hussein is going through such a hard time. She knows Hussein needs help. Hussein needs support, comfort in these moments. Every time Hussein started to bring back some of these bodies, drag back some of these bodies, they say Zainab ran out and she was there to console her brother. They say there was only one time when Zainab did not do this, and that was when her own children were in the battlefield. Zainab looks around, Ali ibn al-Akbar has gone now, only the children of Hassan is left. They say Zainab understood that this is the time. She went, she grabbed her two children, Aun, Muhammad, come here my children. You guys are everything that I have. You guys are the fruits of my life. Aun, Muhammad, I raised you for a moment like this. I raised you so that you could give your life for your uncle Hussein. Go to the tent of your uncle. Ask him for permission. They say Aun and Muhammad made their way towards the tent of Hussein. They say Hussein saw them. He immediately said no, because Hussein can't see his nephews going to the battlefield now and giving up their life for him. He immediately said no. They say they came back to their mother. Mother, our uncle does not give us permission. Zainab, they say, she got up. She said, no, he has to give you permission. They say Zainab herself got up this time. She grabbed the hands of Aun and Muhammad. She went to the tent. She said, Hussein, this is how you do things. With Ali ibn al-Akbar, you quickly gave him permission. When it comes to my children, you say no to them, Hussein? She insisted. Until Hussein finally says yes as tears are flowing from his eyes. They say Aun and Muhammad, they went to the battlefield, each one of them reciting poems. Every time they were killed, their heads removed. Hussein comes back to bring back the bodies of each and every one of these, Aun and Muhammad. But there is no sign of Zainab. Where is Zainab? Zainab is always out there in the forefront. No, Zainab is in the tent. Zainab doesn't want to see her brother. Zainab doesn't want Hussein to see her crying. She doesn't want Hussein to be embarrassed. They say Hussein started to drag these bodies all the way to the back of the tents. Imagine the embarrassment that Hussein is going through as he knows that Zainab is in this tent waiting for the body of her children. They say Zainab did not come out to cry. She did not come out to weep. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we all know that at one point on the day of Ashura, Zainab must have made her way to the back of the tents to just sit down with her children a little bit, just to speak with her children a little bit. Maybe the conversation went something like this. Maybe Zainab came to the back of the tents. She saw Aun on one hand, Muhammad on the other side. Maybe she started to speak to her children. Aun, Muhammad, if I told you to go to the battlefield, it wasn't because I didn't love you. You are everything that I have. Aun Muhammad, I raised you for a day like this. Aun Muhammad, now that you have gone, you are with the Prophet, you are now with my grandfather. Tell them to pray for me, Aun Muhammad. From this point on of the trip, it's going to be very difficult. So many masa'ib are going to come the way of your mother that they're going to call me Ummul Masa'ib from now on. Aun Muhammad, tell them to pray for me. Maybe Zainab starts to explain a little bit more. Maybe Zainab sits there and says, Aun Muhammad, you know, after all of this done, I'm going to be in charge of this caravan. They're going to set these tents on fire. All of these children are going to be running around in the desert. I have to take charge of them. Then they're going to walk us through the city of Kufa and Sham, Aun Muhammad. But all of these difficulties, on one hand, the fact that I had to watch you go in the battlefield and I had to stand far, far away from you, this was a different musibah for me. Maybe Zainab continues to explain all of the masa'ib that she is going through. We know that Zainab must have made her way sometime to the back of the tents to speak to Aun and Muhammad. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلَبُونَ. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the tawfiq, the chance, and the opportunity to be amongst the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt, inshaAllah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of our brothers and sisters who are sick and ill, that He grants them health and afiyah, inshaAllah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our ulama, our marajit, those who passed on this heritage for us all the way till this day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolongs their lives, inshaAllah. And last but not least, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hastens the return of our beloved 12th Imam. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallahu man qara' al-Fatihata ma'as salawat. Allahumma salli ala.
Thank you.